Welcome to episode 1366 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. Brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This year, we are taking a closer look at these guidelines. What does God truly want us to understand about how to live lives to the full? So far, we have explored the first four. Guideline 1. True freedom and flourishing begin when God alone is trusted as ultimate, so that nothing else is allowed to carry the weight of our identity, security, or hope. Guideline 2. We flourish when we refuse to reduce or remake God in our own image, choosing instead to worship Him as He truly is, rather than as we wish Him to be. Guideline 3. God's name is to be carried with integrity in our words, prayers, and lives, so that our speech and behavior truthfully reflect His character. Guideline 4. Remembering the Sabbath anchors us in God's rhythm of rest and trust, freeing us from slavery to productivity and restoring us to creaturely dependence and joy. We must learn how to relate rightly to God before we can relate rightly to one another, because our understanding of authority, dignity, trust, and love is first formed in our posture toward Him. When God is ultimate, holy, trustworthy, and gracious in our hearts, we are freed from turning other people into saviors, rivals, or threats, and we gain the stability needed to treat them with justice and compassion, rather than fear or control. In other words, worship shapes ethics. If we anchor our identity in God's faithful love, we do not need to dominate, manipulate, or diminish others to secure ourselves, and human relationships become expressions of gratitude rather than arenas of competition. Today, we pivot to the fifth guideline.
Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
This is the first commandment that explicitly addresses human relationships. The first four commandments focus on our relationship with God: exclusive devotion, proper worship, reverent speech, sacred rest. Then suddenly, before prohibitions against murder, adultery, theft, false witness, and coveting, God says, honor. Why does honor come first? Why doesn't this first command about other people begin with the do not list, with the prohibitions, the restrictions, the constraints? Why does it begin with honor? Because flourishing does not begin with law enforcement. It begins with reverence. The Hebrew word for honor means to give weight, to treat as heavy, to regard as significant. To honor someone is to treat them as weighty. This is deeply countercultural. We live in an age that prizes lightness, flexibility, autonomy, self-invention. We curate identities. We detach from roots. We talk about finding ourselves as though we emerged from nowhere. But the fifth commandment interrupts that narrative. It says, you are not self-generated. Before you speak, before you choose, before you achieve, you are born. You are received. You are shaped. And the first shaping relationship in nearly every human life is with parents. To honor father and mother is to acknowledge that life was given, not manufactured. Notice the architecture of the Ten Commandments. Commandments 1 to 4 anchor us in worship. Commandments 6 to 10 protect life and community. But the fifth commandment sits in the center, like a hinge. It bridges vertical devotion and horizontal ethics. Because the way we learn to treat authority, dignity, and relationship begins in the family. If we cannot learn reverence at home, we will struggle to practice justice in society. If contempt takes root early, it spreads outward. Honor forms the moral muscle memory that later protects life, truth, and trust. The fifth commandment is also the first to carry an explicit promise that your days may be long in the land. Later, Paul repeats this in Ephesians 6 verses 2 and 3, calling it the first commandment with a promise. This promise is not a simplistic formula. Respect your parents and you'll live to 95. It is communal and covenantal. In the ancient world, generational continuity was the backbone of stability. A society where elders were dismissed, where wisdom was ignored, where authority collapsed, such a society fragmented quickly. Honor creates continuity. Continuity produces stability. Stability allows peace. Peace enables flourishing. The promise is relational, not magical. Human flourishing requires rootedness. A tree without roots may appear tall for a time, but when storms come, it falls. A society without generational respect may function for a season, but when crises arise, it fractures. In Deuteronomy 6, Israel is commanded to teach the next generation diligently, to talk of God's faithfulness in daily life. Faith is transmitted relationally. Honor protects that transmission. Without honor, memory fades. Without memory, identity erodes. Without identity, direction dissolves. Flourishing depends on remembering who we are and how we arrived here. Still, let's clarify something essential. Honor is not the same as blind obedience. Children obey. Adults honor. Obedience is appropriate in childhood when safety and formation require structure. But adulthood introduces complexity. Parents are human. They are flawed. Sometimes deeply flawed. Honor does not require enabling harm. It does not mean excusing abuse. It does not silence necessary boundaries. Honor is about posture, not passivity. It is the refusal to treat someone as disposable. It is the decision not to let contempt define the relationship, even when boundaries must. And that distinction matters profoundly for human flourishing. Contempt feels powerful. It feels protective. It feels justified when wounds run deep. But contempt corrodes the one who carries it. When we live in chronic dishonor, when we reduce others to caricatures or dismiss them entirely, we fracture something in ourselves. Honor does not deny pain, but it refuses to let pain calcify into disdain. This is crucial in a culture that increasingly normalizes generational hostility. The fifth commandment calls us to something braver than resentment. It calls us to dignified engagement. The fifth commandment protects the ecosystem of generations. When children are taught to honor, they learn humility. When parents accept the weight of their role, they learn responsibility. When elders are respected, wisdom is preserved. When youth are valued, vitality is nurtured. Honor creates mutual accountability. It prevents both authoritarian domination and dismissive rebellion. It builds relational symmetry, and symmetry fosters flourishing. Modern culture often celebrates independence as the highest virtue. Be yourself. Cut ties if necessary. Start over. There are times when distance is needed for safety and healing. But the default narrative of detachment is spiritually thin. Scripture offers a richer vision. You are connected. You are part of a lineage. You inherit more than genetics. You inherit story, trauma, strength, faith, and pattern. To honor father and mother is to engage that inheritance consciously, not uncritically, but respectfully. Honor might look like expressing gratitude explicitly, listening more than dismissing, caring for aging parents with dignity, speaking respectfully even when disagreeing, setting boundaries without contempt, refusing to weaponize past wounds. For some, honor will require forgiveness. For others, it will require proximity. For still others, it will require distance combined with dignity. Honor is not uniform, but it is always weighty. Consider this. The next commandment is, you shall not murder. Why does honor precede it? Because murder is the ultimate dishonor. The commandment sequence suggests that violence begins in contempt. When we strip someone of weight, we make it easier to harm them. Honor builds the moral framework that protects life. And that framework begins at home. Ultimately, the fifth commandment cultivates gratitude. And gratitude is the soil in which flourishing grows. When we live gratefully, we are less anxious to prove ourselves, less eager to dominate, less inclined to despise. Gratitude stabilizes identity. It reminds us that we stand on the shoulders of others, flawed, yes, but formative. Honor does not romanticize the past. It redeems it. Honor your father and your mother. Not because they were perfect, not because family is simple, but because flourishing requires humility, continuity, and dignity. We are rooted before we are autonomous. We are formed before we are self-defined. And when we treat our origins with weight, we create a future with stability. Honor creates continuity. Continuity fosters peace. Peace makes room for thriving. Father, teach us to honor with wisdom and courage. Where there is gratitude, deepen it. Where there is pain, bring healing. Where there is contempt, soften our hearts without compromising truth. May we build families and communities where dignity flows across generations. And may our posture of honor reflect your faithful love. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.